Welcome to Manage Your Money God's Way, presented by Compass Catholic Ministries. We use biblical principles to show you the best ways to handle money. Now, our goal is to assist you in becoming totally debt-free. And it doesn't matter if you consider your debt small or if you consider your debt extremely large. Check out the small group study that we have available. Simply go to compasscatholic.org. Click on Books and Studies. That first one that pops up is called Navigating Your Finances God's Way. My name is Steve Holbrook, and joining me today are the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, John and Evelyn Bean. And our topic today are the signs that indicate that you are financially stable. Evelyn, how about you start off by taking us through a time when you and John felt that you were starting to stabilize when it came to your finances?
So, John, I don't know if you remember a long time ago when we were first learning how to manage money according to the Bible.
I wiped that totally out of my brain.
How financially unstable we were, right?
Yeah, totally.
We had a ton of debt. We had no budget. The credit cards were maxed out. And, you know, that was not a happy place to be.
No, it wasn't a happy place to be. And probably if we had kept on down the path that we were on, I suspect we might have ended up divorced.
Probably. But as we've served in the financial ministry for so many years, we've changed our money habits, and we've helped a lot of other people change theirs.
You know, I think, Evelyn, that having us 30 years ago teaching people about money habits is God's joke on the world.
Well, I'm not sure the whole world appreciates it, but certainly the people that knew us then do. So in working with couples over the years, we found that we can help people move from financial chaos to financial stability. And today we're going to share with you listeners some of the ways that you can discern if you are financially stable, so you know where you are on your journey. None of these items stands alone, but they're all kind of used to determine the level of your healthy financial future. So John, what's one indication that people are financially stable?
One of the first ones is understanding that everything that we have is a blessing from God.
Now, I don't think any financial planner would probably tell people that.
You know, it's just like the used car salesman won't tell you you shouldn't buy a car. It's not conventional wisdom, and you probably won't hear it from a financial planner. But I think that is the ultimate key in beginning the process of being financially secure, and that is making sure that you fully understand and believe and live knowing as God owns everything. I don't know how else to put that. We have it in our brain a lot of times, but we don't have it in our hearts. And that's a key transition, a key transformation. What do we end the shows with? It's not about the money. It's about the change. We could say it's about the transformation. The knowledge that God owns everything moving from your brain to your heart.
So that's kind of an attitude that we need everybody to embrace in order to become financially stable. And there are also a lot of practical ways when we look at our finances or the way we're managing our money to know that we're financially stable. Where we struggled the most was one of the things we didn't do was we weren't on the same page financially. So I think financial stability comes from both the husband and the wife being on the same page financially.
Yeah, and you're absolutely true. And I think a lot of people suffer from financial infidelity for whatever reason, however it was caused, but that will create or wreak havoc on a marriage. But if you're working towards the same goals, you know how much money's coming in, you know how much money's going out, and you're totally open and honest about all 100% of your finances, then you're going to have a healthy marriage.
And that's important at the point where you're engaged. And
it's very important all the time.
It's very important when you're married, but yeah. It starts when you're engaged. You know, yes. A lot of engaged couples don't do a deep dive into finances, but that's really important to talk about before you get married.
Absolutely.
Because in a healthy marriage, there should not be any financial secrets.
Hey, can I interrupt just for a second? Could you do a 60-second plug for your book, God, Marriage, and Money?
Sure.
Unless you're going to talk about it later on. I don't want to spoil anything.
No. We didn't have that plan. God, Marriage, and Money is a 17-chapter book that deals with those opening questions that engaged couples need to talk about. How much debt am I bringing into the marriage? What's my credit score? How much are we going to save every month? So it's a way for the husband and future husband and future wife to talk to each other about money and get on the same page. And they can download that from our website or buy a copy of the book from our website.
And you know, the problem with so many couples is they're so focused on the day, the wedding day, the wedding cake, the wedding dress.
So the bachelor party, the bachelorette party.
Yeah.
Everything that goes. All the...
And you know what? All that happens in a space of 2 days or three. And then guess what? Marriage is the rest of your life. And so why are you focusing, besides the fact that it's just our natural phenomenon, you know, why are you focusing on the first 3 days before you're even married and not on the next 60 years?
And that is a big problem, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So the next thing, was that a good enough plug?
Very good. CompassCatholic.org, books and studies. Go.
Thank you. The next way to tell if you're financially stable is that you're not worried about the future. It means that you have a good handle on your finances. And like you said earlier, John, you know what's coming in and what's going out. And you're not worried about those bills that are coming in next week or how you're going to pay for retirement. Because a financially stable person pays their bills each month and there's no surprises and no worries.
And they can sleep at night. They're not worrying about where something's coming from. You know, that, I think that's important. I don't think ever really tossed and turned about having enough money, even when we were...
Even when we didn't have enough money.
Yeah, even when we didn't.
That was part of the problem, huh? I was the one tossing and turning.
You know, another thing that it just is mind-boggling, but there's been some recent studies, and over half of the population cannot handle a $400 emergency expense. You know, if I walked up to you and handed you a $400 bill for whatever, half the population would have to, in order to pay it, they'd have to go into debt.
So not having enough money to pay for that expense of emergency is a sign of financial stability, because people have an emergency fund in place and they can deal with a temporary problem like a dentist bill or a doctor bill or a car repair or whatever comes up that wasn't planned for.
Right. And, you know, that emergency fund, you start out with $1,000. As you move through your life, you should get that up to, eventually up to a year's income. But, you know, you get $1,000, then you get 30 days, then you get 3 months, then you get 6 months, then you get nine.
You know, so many people think, well, I can't save $1,000. Well, maybe you can only save 20 or 30 or 50 or 100 this month, but starting it is the key. You have to start that emergency fund someplace. So just start it with whatever you have now, because even if you just save a little bit each paycheck, you're going to be better off than you are at the moment.
And if you don't ever start, you'll never start.
What's another sign of financial stability?
Credit cards are a convenience and not a necessity.
Now, what do you mean by a necessity?
Well, some people can't buy anything unless they have a credit card because they have absolutely no cash.
Okay.
If you're using your credit card as a tool to purchase things, and then at the end of the month when you get your credit card statement, you pay it off in full, that's a sign of financial stability. If you can't pay it off, that's a sign of financial instability. And if you can't pay it off at the end of the month, I think some drastic measures are necessary. Cut them up. Put them in a bag and put them in a bowl of water and put them in the freezer. Do something so that you're not going into debt every month because you can't pay your credit card bill.
You know, I think part of the problem is people use credit cards as a way to finance a lifestyle they really can't afford. But that's just putting them further into the hole, because if they can't afford to buy things and they're buying them and paying interest in addition to the cost of the item, it's just a downward spiral that's never going to end.
Yeah. You know, even if you don't pay it just 1 month, you've still paid
Too much interest. Any interest is too much interest.
Exactly.
Okay, another sign of financial stability is being able to save for the future. And too many people think, I'll save for the future sometime in the future. They never start saving today.
I'll save for the future when I get back to the future.
So the important thing is to save for the future now.
Yeah, you have to start. And, this is one place where millennials are beginning to do a much better job than any other demographic in the United States. They are beginning to save money, and we need to encourage that and help them to save more and more. And everybody else needs to jump on that bandwagon too.
You know, too many people think that there's going to be some day in the future when they can afford to save, but that day never comes.
No.
And being financially stable means you save and invest on a regular basis, whether it's a 401k or college savings for your children or an emergency fund. And the best way to think about it is that saving today is a gift to your future self.
Oh, that's a good thing. I like that idea.
All right.
I like gifts. You know, another aspect of being financially secure is having a low debt to income ratio. What do I mean by that? Well, your debt to income ratio measures your monthly debt obligations against how much money you have coming in, your income. And so the lower the percentage, the better off your ratio is. You can probably get a mortgage with a debt to income ratio as high as 43%.
And that includes the potential mortgage, right?
Yes, absolutely.
As well as all other obligations like car payments, credit cards.
But that's really high, and I would not go there. You know, once you get your mortgage, you're going to have a 43% debt-to-income ratio, stay away. You're just putting yourself behind the eight ball, and it's not necessary.
So what would be the max, in your opinion?
You know, I think if you can keep it between 30 and 35% total, then you're probably you're in better shape for sure.
You know, our Bible study recommends your housing expenses be no more than 40% of your monthly spendable income. That includes all your housing expenses, the mortgage and the all the maintenance and upkeep and all that.
Yeah, the mortgage is only 50% of that.
Half of the 40, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, the rest of it is utility bills and stuff like that. So the house is the one that's going to really throw you out of whack. And because most people, you know, you watch the TV on all these home buyer reality shows. A couple says, well, my budget's 200. What's the first house they see?
250. I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, you can't go there, people.
You can go there, but it's not a good idea.
Yeah,
it's not a good place to be.
Absolutely.
This is Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries. We use biblical principles to teach the best practices for handling money. Our 9-week small group study called Navigating Your Finances God's Way is the tool that we use to help get your finances in order. And you can preview it now at compasscatholic.org. When you get to the website, click on Books and Studies. And today we're identifying signs that indicate that you are financially stable. So Evelyn, what would you consider to be, let's say, the biggest sign that says, hey, I'm okay financially?
I think one of the biggest things about being financially stable is not being underwater on your car loan or your home loan.
I think not having a car loan is a key thing. I mean, let's face it. The average car loan today is $500.
A month.
A month. Yes. Yes. And more than 60% of car loans are over 5 years long. That's 60 months. They're more than that. I think the average, I read something several weeks ago, the average car loan is 68 months.
That's a long time to be paying $500 a month. And the problem is that you're paying that the whole life of the car loan while the car keeps depreciating in value.
Yes.
So you're paying a lot for a depreciating asset that really isn't helping your bottom line.
That's, and the same thing applies to your house. Although your house should appreciate,
But it may not.
But it may not. And 2008 proved that it doesn't always happen that way.
That's right.
You know, so owing more than your home is worth or more than your car is worth because you bought too much house or you bought too much car.
Or you didn't put down a big enough down payment.
Yeah, exactly. That's not a good thing. And it's a sign of not being financially secure.
Okay, paying off debt is one of the good things about being financially secure. People have a plan and are committed to paying off all their debt.
Yeah, debt, paying off that debt should be a high priority because debt enslaves us. You know, the lender is in control of our lives because he's expecting our money every single month. And that restricts your freedom.
So a financially stable person is working hard to get out of debt or either has no debt.
Yes, absolutely. How about living below your means, Evelyn? We haven't talked about that.
Yeah, how many people do that? Not many.
Well, I mean.
Most people live above their income level even before they get a raise. So every time they get a raise or their income
they're
increases,
they're just catching up.
They're just catching up, but then they inflate their lifestyle even further.
Yeah.
So living below your means is like the, or living above your means is like the American pastime.
But you know, we used to do that.
Well, we did.
You know, we're living in our ninth house, I think, right now. But in the very beginning, when we bought a house, we would buy a house that we could fit into from a payment standpoint in 2 years because we fully expected the income to increase, which it did. I mean,
until it didn't.
Well, yeah.
Until we got in over our heads.
Until we got in over our heads. Well, and we only got in over our heads because I quit working.
And that, that really was the end, the beginning of the end of the end.
If I just kept on working the way I was working, we'd had no problems.
Yep. And that, you know, that's a key there, too, is that a financially responsible person or a financially stable person has discerned a lifestyle level and lives below, a little bit below that level.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, when we were having all of our financial challenges, we were just a little bit above our financial level, and then it got even worse.
Well, when I tried to start the business and we didn't have any income coming in, you know, we were in trouble. The mortgage payment was actually less than on the house that we sold in order to build the house that we built. You know, if you don't have any income coming in, then any amount is too much.
Another way to discern financial stability is to know where your money's going and how it's working for you.
You mean track your spending?
Track your spending.
Okay. I absolutely agree with you. You should be tracking every single penny. When we teach our class, Navigating Your Finances God's Way, we tell everybody, track every single penny for the next 60 days. And then when we get to the end of 60 days, say, let's do 60 more days. We've been doing this for 30 years, and we track every penny. Now, we're not as
disciplined.
Detailed.
I knew it.
Okay. We get it to within 99%. Of our annual income. And I think that's important because if you don't know where your money's going, how are you going to be able to be in control?
You know, and there's lots of tools and apps out there that are available from banks or credit card companies or credit unions or financial planners that help you track your spending.
So, yeah, it makes it easier and it's better organized too.
And
yeah.
You can download a lot of the information electronically. You know, back in the old days when we started out, we were doing it on pencil and paper.
Yeah, where's the pencil?
I remember we went out and bought an accountant's
notebook,
mm-hmm. You know, with all green paper with all these lines and stuff. Whoa, what a pain that was.
But it helped us get organized and stay on track.
Seriously, in that first, you know, the first time we did this, we weren't successful.
Yes, you're right.
It wasn't until we had the Bible study to go with it that we understood what God said about it that we were successful.
That we really buckled down and paid attention.
Yes.
Another mark of financial stability is being able to handle those large purchases that come up every once in a while. You know, large purchases are anything from needing to buy a car, and that's a good, solid used car, not a new car.
Mm-hmm.
Or things like replacing the roof or the air conditioner needing a new to be replaced.
Yes.
Because regardless of what it is, financially stable people plan for those large purposes and have money set aside to take care of them. They don't make large purchases on a whim.
Right. Right.
And Steve, I think you know somebody that buys cars on a whim, don't you?
Yes, we do. But he's been good. It's probably been at least 15, 18 months since he's made a purchase. He's talking about it again, though.
But seriously, this guy went out and had the oil changed and came, what?
Two times in a row. Went out, got an oil change, came home with a new car.
In less than 12 months each time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He, for him, 20,000 miles on a car is his limit.
Whereas now 20,000 miles means the car.
That's why he's getting the oil changed.
But, I mean, 20,000 miles is nothing on a car these days.
That's correct.
It's just getting broken in.
That's correct. In fact, I was reading an article about buying used cars the other day, and it said that in reality, you should be looking, you shouldn't look at any car that has less than 100,000 miles on it.
Seriously?
Yeah. And don't buy a car that's considered a high-level car today, like a Honda, Toyota, you know, or any of the luxury cars. Get the next level down of cars with 100,000 miles. You can probably buy one for $3,000 to $5,000 and drive it for another 100,000 miles.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. What about a job loss? I know when we were struggling, the job loss was a conscious decision. We didn't lose a job. You decided to quit.
That's correct.
But we couldn't handle the loss of income. And so many times when people lose their job, whether it's a downsizing or they're incapacitated in some way, that's a financial blow to the family.
Absolutely, it is. And, you know, a lot of times they just can't survive that. And, you know, that's a huge disaster.
So being financially stable gives you more flexibility because you have an emergency fund and other types of savings to kind of get you through these tough times.
Yeah.
And you have your budget, so you're able to adjust your spending to take care of the loss of income.
Yeah. Another example of being financially secure is tracking your net worth. Your net worth should increase at least a little bit every single year.
And this isn't, I want to get rich. This is, I'm financially stable and I'm working toward retirement.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's typically where your increase is going to come in your savings. You know, savings for retirement, savings for college, savings for emergency fund, whatever. That's typical. I mean, maybe your house will appreciate a little bit and that'll be a plus. Maybe your investments will increase a little bit. That's a plus. Putting that money aside every month is a key.
And the best way to think of this is that you're controlling your finances. They're not controlling yours.
Absolutely.
Financial stability means you can decide where your money goes and you don't have to do it the other way around. Your money decides what you can do.
Yeah. You can buy what you want. With that said, you need to still live within your means, even though you once in a while can go out and buy, you know, something that you would like to have.
Maybe a little bit of a luxury. But the important thing is just because you can afford it doesn't mean you run out and buy it.
Right.
You make your spending decisions based on what's important to you, not just because you have the money.
Well, and you plan ahead. You know, we're going on a big vacation in September. Basically, that vacation's already paid for.
And it's been planned for a year.
Yes. Yeah, we started planning last summer for what we would do at the end of this summer.
Which brings up another point about financial stability, which is plans and goals. You know, we had a goal to take this trip. We planned for it. We paid for it. So planning for the future is an important thing in financial stability. It's retirement. It's life insurance. It's college education. It's the fun things that you want to do. So those goals and plans are very important in your financial stability.
I think making sure that your credit score doesn't scare you. In other words, you've got a good credit score. You've got a credit score that's above 700. That would be indicative of having your finances in control.
What about giving? Giving is another mark of financial stability because a financially stable person can have a certain amount of money dedicated to planned giving, like mass contributions on Sunday or the bishop's appeal or something like that, and you have enough of a cushion to respond to special giving opportunities as they arise throughout the year. you can give with a sense of peace and comfort and not worry about your finances when you decide to give.
Yeah, and I think that's important. And it's a freeing feeling when you can be that way. I can remember when we first came to Orlando and, you know, this was the third church we were in the process of building. And they came around for the drive. You know, we got a capital campaign drive. We want you to give X amount of money. And we agonized over that. And we stretched it out as far as we could. And we gave as little as possible because we didn't have it.
Mm-hmm.
Truly, that was a sacrificial gift because we didn't have the money at that point.
No, we really overextended ourselves.
Yeah, yeah.
And it wasn't that much.
It wasn't that much. Now that we're on our feet and when we're approached to give, it's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
And it's a totally different feeling.
So it's important to remember that none of us are perfect and we all make mistakes and have hurdles to overcome. And financial stability is an ongoing journey, not simply a destination or a point in time. And the goal of the journey is to grow in your financial knowledge and keep increasing your financial well-being.
So being financially stable means you are a good steward. You're making good choices that honor God in the way you spend, the way you save, and the way you give money that He has entrusted you with. Remember, it's not about the money.
It's about the change.
The change of your heart.
And that money map that John referred to can be found at compasscatholic.org. In the navigation bar on the homepage, click on Resources, scroll down to Money Map. It'd be a great idea to print it out and hang it on your refrigerator as a constant reminder just to make sure you're seeing what you're doing, that you're on track, and you stay focused. Well, thank you so much for listening. We post a brand new podcast each and every Wednesday. Just mark that page, compasscatholic.org.